Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening. We've got a great show planned for you, and I am very, very excited. I just want to throw this commercial out there to let you be reminded that we do have a I do have a book out. It's called After Passion, Now What? And you can certainly get my book by going to my online service and requesting a copy of it right there. So we do have that, and it's available for purchase. And also I have a publication out there that's available for you as well. You can check that out, and we would love to hear from you. You can send us for a free complimentary copy of this spiritual publication. Just simply send us an email at online, all one word, online at drjessewalker.com, and we'll go ahead and get that out to you as quickly as possible. Some other things that we're doing, of course, include having my co-host on a regular basis. Ms. Audrey Blake, she's the author of Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement, and she's going to be joining us momentarily. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. We've got a great show ready for you tonight, and we're going to bring in Ms. Audrey Blake now, and we're going to go ahead and get started. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, Ms. Blake. You're on the air, and it's so good to have you.
Hi, Dr. Walker, and good evening to all of our listeners. We're looking forward to another thought-provoking discussion.
Well, you know, it's always been pretty good, and I certainly always look forward to having the various people tune in to our broadcast. Tell me what your week has been like and all the good things that are happening with your company and how people can get in touch with you and so forth and get a copy of your book.
Wow, well, it's been an exciting and busy week so far, as every week has its excitement. I am the author of the book Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement, as you mentioned earlier. That book is available through any online bookstore, or you can get the e-book if you don't want to read the actual soft cover. And you can also go to my website, fosteringleaders.org. That's fosteringleaders with an S, .org. We are starting to really get a lot more clientele. I am a certified professional life coach, and I offer several coaching packages via phone or Skype or in person if you're in the Atlanta area, but nationwide. And give us a call. You can find out more at 770-866-2162. Again, that's 770-866-2162.
And
wow, that's a mouthful.
That is. Why don't you give them a little synopsis of what your book is about a little bit?
Well, the book is about relationships, and I just ran into a young lady today. She said, oh, my goodness, I have got to get this book. The book is really about how to have mutually enhancing relationships, and that's really what the ME stands for, mutual enhancement. It will take the reader through an emotional journey and a discovery of self and a discovery of some unhealthy relationship characteristics.
Okay, awesome. That is a lot. What prompted you, let me just ask you, what prompted you to write such a book?
It was a combination of listening to my friends that came to me for advice and my own personal experience. And then I started teen talk programs in South Carolina, and I noticed the same things were happening on a younger level. So I'm like, wow, someone needs to write a book. And one day I did.
Okay. Well, awesome. Awesome. One day you did. And is there a sequel to the book, or what's going on?
We're working on that, but the other big project is I have a novel that should be out next year, so I'll have to keep you posted. There's a process of getting a book published, but we are in the final editing stages of a very suspenseful and dramatic novel it's really going to be, to use the old term, it will blow your mind.
Okay. Well, that's good. I like that term. I've heard that term, and I certainly do miss that term. It will blow your mind. Certainly do.
You trying to call me throwback, Dr. Walker?
No. You put it out there, and I was just saying. Let me ask you, Ms. Blake, we've been on the air now. I've been on the air almost 5 years, and you've been with me for a very long time. I can't even recall how long you've been with me. Has it been a year yet or close to that?
It's coming up on a year and a half, and it's been a wonderful journey. I was a guest on your show, I think, back in May of maybe, 2012? And the rest was really history, you know.
Wow. Let me ask you, what are some of the things, just before we get into tonight's broadcast, if you would share with our listening audience, what are some of the things that you've gotten from tuning into this broadcast? And if it's been a tremendous asset for you, I mean, something's going right because you're staying with me.
Well, part of what's happening is, you know, we have such great discussions. And what I love the most about yourself and our special guests and our callers and those who send us messages is they keep it real. These are real life experiences, and people are out there that have similar situations, and hopefully we've given some good guidance or at least made people think about a few things that they are experiencing.
And you know, and that's what I pretty much take away from the broadcast as well. Wanting people to come out with, if nothing else, just something that they can think about and say, hey, and go, you know, maybe this makes sense as opposed to something else. And that's basically what I'd be looking forward to, is to just get you to think before you act sometimes, and also to get you to realize that, you know what, we can all do something stupid when it comes to relationships. But if
right.
we have something to think about and the variety of people that interact on the broadcast, then it might make us just go, well, you know what, I was thinking about something crazy, but then, you know what, I think after listening to this broadcast, I might change my mind on certain things. And that's what I get from a lot of people that I interview over the years that have tuned in to this broadcast. Have you gotten much feedback from people that you've maybe have interviewed that have said certain things to you about?
Oh, definitely, yes. And also, you know, I'm on social media, and so I get comments about that. Sometimes even while we're doing the show, I'm throwing out a little communication on social media. And so people really do love the show. And, you know, I'm kind of the off-the-chain one, using another old term. You know, I can be real live sometimes. But at the end of the day, you know, my degree is in psychology and public health, and I really do want people to make good decisions.
Right. Okay. Well, and you know, that's what I want also, and that's what one of the things that prompted me to go into this broadcast was realizing that, you know what, anyone can make a dumb decision on relationships. And if I can, I mean, I'm sure that I've made some stupid mistakes on relationships. And so I say,
I've
made mistakes. Right, we all have. And if we've made these mistakes, then there must be other people out there that have also made some stupid decisions on relationships. And if we can do something to help make the world a better place, even just one by one, that would be a great thing. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. And I think the thing about this show is someone listening can realize hey, I'm not the only one that's going through this or that has experienced this.
And that becomes the plus. That becomes one of the things that makes you go and you start to think about it. And you say, okay, now this is what is starting to make sense. And that's really all I'm looking at, kind of, is what makes sense to the people? What might make sense? And some of the stuff that might make sense to me may not make sense to someone else. And then, of course, you have the extreme. You know, some of the things may not seem to make sense. And then when we find, I find myself sometimes when we're communicating over the air, somebody may not agree or have a different perspective, which is great. Then I welcome that as well. And then they'll call in and say, hey, you know what, I see things a little differently. And we welcome that because I don't think any one human being has all the answers for every other human being.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes I may come on quite opinionated, excuse me. But, you know, at the end of the day, we do respect everyone's opinion. And the goal is not necessarily to change people's opinion, but to allow them to vocalize it. And, you know, we do sometimes recap at the end with some good advice.
Well, I think so, too. And and having said that, you know, we're going to go on and get ready for tonight's broadcast. You know, this particular topic is really quite interesting. And, of course, any of the stories that are presented are all inspired by true stories. Of course, the names are changed to protect the innocent. And, of course, if there's anything that seems to fit any individual situation, it is merely coincidental. And, you know, there's nothing that we would put out there to incriminate anyone or ourselves for that matter. We thank you all for joining us on tonight's broadcast. For the record, this show does not have all the answers, but together with your help, I can assure you we will find some answers that may prove beneficial to your relationship. As always, we thank you for joining us. And once again, the opinions that are expressed from my guests or other participants do not necessarily reflect the opinions that are expressed from this host. Furthermore, the opinions expressed in my food for thought are merely those of my own and, like those of my guests or other participants, should not be perceived as a replacement or a substitute for the appropriate licensed, certified, or professional help in the appropriate field. The information presented is for educational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Now, just before I get into the tonight's story, I'm going to ask you, Ms. Blake, we want to make sure we cover all the bases, so I also want to find out, how do you feel about when we give that disclaimer out there? What do you think? I mean, can you break it down from your interpretation or understanding what we're telling the listening audience?
It's a very important disclaimer because we are, although we are very trained individuals, we are not necessarily licensed counselors per se. And if a person is experiencing something very serious, then we're encouraging them to go seek medical, professional, or, you know, psychological help. And don't be ashamed to do that. It's perfectly okay. So please don't take actions alone based on what you've heard on the show.
Okay, thank you. And we want to make sure we come across clear. All right, tonight's characters are Quentin, Rosie, and Sabrina. It's important that you follow the order of the characters because it'll make sense in the story as we read it. Quentin, Rosie, and Sabrina. Now, after dating for 3.5 years, Quentin and Rosie decided to call it quits because of an argument over Quentin spending too much time with his friends as opposed to being with Rosie more. They vowed to have nothing to do with each other in the future. The breakup took place 1 year prior to their scheduled date to get married. Now, again, this couple dated for 3.5 years, and they decided to call it quits because Quentin was spending more time with his friends than he was with Rosie. This couple was really in love. For the first time in his 53 years of living, Quentin confessed, prior to meeting Rosie, he had never really known or experienced true love. He was obviously mad about her, and she seemed to be also very much into him. After experiencing a feeling of numbness and thinking that he would never, ever, have this type of love with anyone else, Quentin decided he would settle down with one of the several prospects who he had met sometime back in his past. Now, one of his past flames was Sabrina, a woman who got his attention in the past but did not captivate his heart like Rosie did. Nevertheless, he knew he had to move on with his life, assuming Rosie would do the same. 5 months later, Quentin married Sabrina, the woman from his past. 5 months later, he married her. The couple hit it off very well from the traditional ways of marriage, but for some reason, Quentin's heart was not fulfilled because there was a major hole or gap from missing the only woman he ever really loved. As time passed, Sabrina knew in her heart that her husband was seriously in love with another woman whom she refused to compete with for his love. Quentin is a great husband to Sabrina, but recognizes that he moved on too fast without bringing closure to his ex, Rosie. To his surprise, he heard through the grapevine that Rosie had moved on and also was terribly missing him. Quentin and Rosie's lives have changed, but their hearts still remain entwined and seem all hope is gone. Now, the question is, and we have several of them tonight, but our opening question is, why in the world would Quentin and Rosie not try to work things out before it got to this point where he hooked up with Sabrina? Let's hear what you have to say here right now live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, where our topic is, does moving on guarantee closure? Once again, does moving on guarantee closure with your ex? And this is part one. Okay, and I'm going to start with my co-host tonight, Ms. Audrey Blake. Why in the world would Quentin and Rosie not try to work things out before it got to this point where he ended up with Sabrina?
Sometimes things just happen like that, Dr. Walker, because, you know, people grow apart or they let little small things become large gaps, create large gaps in their relationship. Things, sometimes it just progresses that way.
Okay, but, I mean, wow, do you think fate has anything to do with it? I mean, this is really serious. This is a serious situation where, you know, you spent 3.5 years with someone, and, of course, this is not gender-based. It could be man or woman going through this. You spent 3.5 years with someone that you were madly in love with, and you both seemed to hit it all well. And because, I mean, in his 53 years of living, he just felt he would not find this again. So he decides to go on and, you know, settle into someone from his past that his heart is really not into. I mean, this is so serious because now he's taking vows. What, if anything, could he do about that?
Well, I really think that, you know, he really should try to work it out at this point. I'm not saying that people should stay trapped in loveless marriages, but at the same time, marriage is a very serious commitment. You make vows to each other, and if it's at all possible to work things out, I think they should try. But I'd like to go back a little bit and talk about the fact that what broke Quentin and Rosie up. So Quentin's 53, so he'd never been married before?
Had Quentin been married before? Story doesn't say that, but in this case, here's a woman that he had never experienced. Prior to meeting Rosie, he had never felt true love until he met Rosie. And so now, after they split up, he felt he would never have that again. So he decided to go ahead and settle because he figured, you know, it's better to have loved and lost than never have loved at all and finding your true love.
But there's a problem with settling, and I think you said the key word, and many people do it. And generally, settling, it may not turn out well. You can make the best of it, though. I want to say that to anybody listening, because everything is possible. But, you know, it's never good to just settle. That's why people tell you, and you as an individuals in relationships, don't settle. Don't settle. Because sometimes if that's not really what, you know, you are being led to, then don't settle.
All right, let's go to the phone lines just for a second. We're going to go to 786-985. And, of course, if you want to speak to the host or the co-host or make a comment, press 1 on your dial. We're going to go to 786-985. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live.
Yes, hello, good afternoon, Dr. Walker. This is Mrs. X.
Mrs. X, thank you for joining us this evening. Mrs. X, can you help us perhaps make some sense out of this? I mean, here it is. Quentin has settled with Sabrina when his heart is really into Rosie. what advice, if any, would you give someone in Quentin's situation?
Well, I think sometimes people allow their pride to get in the way. Neither one probably wanted to appear vulnerable in the other one's eyes. And so therefore, as opposed to seeking maybe some sort of reconciliation or counseling or going to their minister if they were church people, they just walked away from one another. Sometimes
okay, so you're
I think
saying
that pride gets in the way.
You know,
pride
Mrs.
X, before a fall.
Right, pride comes before the fall. I agree with you 100% with that, and we're going to bring my co-host in a moment. I often, when I counsel with couples, I talk about that pride, and I call it even foolish pride, because you don't think about it. You're not thinking about this. You're only thinking one-sided. You're not even thinking long-term. You're thinking for the moment. And that for-the-moment stuff can actually cause that fall to come later. Ms. Blake, let's bring you in and give us your thoughts. What do you think? Do you think that pride is one of the key elements that may cause people to go off like this?
Definitely it can be. People just don't want to sit down and work it out. And, you know, as I listen to that situation, I focus in on the fact that, you know, the issue was something as small as he was spending too much time with his friends. Well, you know, there needs to be balance in a relationship. And as Ms. X said, you know, they could have gone and got some kind of couples counseling to help them deal with, you know, how to create that balance in their relationship.
Well absolutely. You know, let's take a look at another question here. Do you really have any control over who you love? I mean, does Quentin have control? When you fall in love, I'm going to throw this question out to you. When you fall in love, do you really have control over your emotions of how deep you can love someone after you've gotten madly, after you've fallen madly in love with the person?
Excuse me. You talking to me, Dr. Walker?
I was asking Ms. X that question.
Okay.
Okay. Can you really control with whom you fall in love?
Yes. After you fall in love with them, can you really control that emotion?
I think that's the thing that you have to be leery of from the beginning. You have to know enough or allow yourself enough time to get to know the other person before you get to that point, because once you fall, I mean, you're in it. It's kind of hard to walk away. The brain says one thing, but the heart and the brain don't connect at that point.
That's an excellent point, Dr. Walker and Ms. X, because I read something, I love the quotes from Facebook, and there's one that says, sometimes your heart needs more time to accept what your mind already knows.
You know, that is so, so right. Say that again, Ms. Blake. Go ahead. I think the people need
it
to
says,
hear that again.
Sometimes your heart needs more time to accept what your mind already knows.
Okay, and if you were to say, if you were to break that down into plain English, how would you interpret that? Sometimes your mind needs more time.
Well, Ms. X said it, and you know how your heart feels one, your mind feels another. So your mind is telling you you should work this out, or your mind may be telling you this is not the right person for you, but your heart. But I love them.
Mm-hmm.
And so in tonight's situation, it was the opposite, it sounds like. The heart was like they were in love. But, you know, I mean, the mind was like, you know, y'all are getting married. That's working out. But it was that pride in that heart that said, well, you know, I'm done.
Yeah, and absolutely. And that can be so, so devastating. So I want to just revert back to the question and put it out to you, Ms. Blake. Can you really control who you love once you're madly in love with them? Can you control that emotion?
I think that varies from individual to individual. Some people will say, well, sure, you can control it. And other people fall very quickly. So, you know, emotions, that's not something that everybody has complete control over. But you can pull back and say, look, I'm feeling this emotion. I need to take a break, especially if you it's an emotion that you're around somebody you don't need to be around. So, you know, it's not easy. The answer for me personally and what I would tell people, it's not easy to control the emotion.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely
takes a lot
is
of
not.
Prayer.
Well, it takes a lot of that and therapy and a lot of other stuff sometimes too. But I will tell you this, and I want to throw a question out to Miss X here. We're getting a little static from maybe a window down, Miss X, where you are. So if you could minimize that, we'd appreciate it. But I want to throw this question out to you. You say it takes some time. It may take some time to get to know a person, or maybe Miss Blake said that. It takes some time. But after you really spend, I mean, you really won't know a person, and we talk about this often on the show, you really won't know a person until you actually live with that person. And so you can take 3 to 6, 8 months, a year, to really try and get to know someone. You can take all of this time, but then you'll begin to realize that, you know what, I thought I knew this person. But even within 3 months, you might find yourself, oh, wow, this guy is really nice to me, or this lady is really nice. She's really sweet. Oh, she does all these things. You know, during what I call the initial stages of a relationship, you know, where the novelty is just starting to be on. And so you fall in love within that 3 month period of time. So how can you really pull back, Ms. Blake? Let me ask you that question. How can you really begin to pull back on that love when you're already in love with the person? You've gotten used to certain things like that phone call early in the morning or that afternoon or that evening, you know, 3 to 4 phone calls a day, and then a visit 3, 4, 5 times a week. And you're going out, you're doing things. So this goes on for 3 months. How can you pull back?
Well, Dr. Walker, you know, in my book I talk about cleaning out the closet. And you know
right.
how we all have that outfit that we really, really love. But guess
uh-huh.
what? It doesn't fit anymore.
Mm.
And it hasn't fit for quite some time. And it still looks good. You look at it
mm-hmm.
on the hanger and it still looks great. But it's not
mm-hmm.
good on you. And that's
mm-hmm.
the time for you to get rid of it. And so you really have to emotionally find ways to pull back. How do
uh-huh.
you do that? Don't pick up the phone or tell that person, you know what, I need some space. I need a break. I think we need to take a little time away from each other. Or
uh-huh.
just straight up, this is you're a really great person. It's not you, it's me. And I just don't think I'm the right fit for you.
Now, this week I got to throw this one out there, and I'm taking the gloves off at least one of my hands. and that is, I want to say this here. You know, your analogy was an awesome analogy. But the only difference is when it comes to your emotional attachment is to someone else as opposed to a dress or a pair of shoes. And I've even done consultations where I talk about if it don't fit, you must quit. You know, where if that shoe size does not fit anymore, okay, you're trying to fit into an 8.5 and you wear a 9.5. Okay, come on. You have to walk in funny. But the thing is, and that's painful. But now
right.
when we talk about, you know, some things that is an emotional attachment, I don't think people have that emotional attachment to, they shouldn't, to things anyway. But that emotional attachment for people. Go ahead.
Well, I think the emotional attachment is what is it's so strong in the first place, and finding a means of emotionally detaching. You know, some people can stop smoking those 3 packs a day. They say, okay, today I'm not going to smoke, and they stop. But then there are others, it takes a much longer period of time. I know my mom used to say, well, if you didn't stop there in the first place, you wouldn't have fell in love with it. You just stayed there long enough till you fell in love. But if you didn't go that route, you know, you wouldn't be in that predicament. The thing is finding a means of being able to emotionally detach in a situation like that. And that's where the problem comes in, you know. Some people are already emotionally detached when they go in. It's you who are putting your whole heart and soul into it. Maybe the other person is not putting as much into it as you are. So therefore, it's easy. It makes it so much easier for them to say, oh, that's okay, I don't need you, and they just walk away and can walk out and really feel absolutely nothing. You know, because some
right.
people are naturally detached anyway.
All
so
right.
they cannot form emotional relationships. Now, if you get in with somebody like that, you're in trouble if you're the type who really loves hard and you love deep.
Okay, see, I'm in trouble if you love hard and you love deep, when that can be a natural thing. And then I want to ask the question, and I want to pose that question to Ms. Blake. Is love an addiction? But let's go back to Ms. X for a moment and ask that question. Why is it so, you know, why is that, can that be a bad thing?
What, say that again?
No, the part, why? I want to ask that first question. Why is that, can that be a bad thing if you're loving so hard and the person that, you know, that you're in love with is not, doesn't have that emotional attachment like you have? I mean, help us out here.
Because whomever that individual is, they may be very needy in love. Maybe there is because of years of not having that nature versus nurture, you know, in the home
right.
from infancy. And you know, as a child grows, they don't outgrow that need.
Mm. Well, then, should that have been identified within the first, you know, few weeks of dating? That you realize
this
person.
Some wolves wear really good fitting sheep's clothing.
Right.
The costume fits. And so you believe that what you have in front of you is someone who is as equally matched or what you've been looking for, because some people are masters of deception. So you don't realize right away that these people are that detached. They do everything that's right. You think, oh, my God, he sent me an angel in disguise.
Wow, wow. Okay, Ms. Blake, did you want to comment on that before we take you to the next question? We'll have a show on that one.
Yeah, I do speak to that in my book, and I have a chapter called Accept But Don't Settle. Accept that person for who they are, but don't settle for them in your life.
Okay. All right, now let me put this question out there.
Sometimes you don't realize that you shouldn't settle until, like, months later.
Well,
that's
true. That's exactly what happened in our story tonight. Quentin realized that it was months later, after he's married, that he has settled for Sabrina when he's really in love with Rosie.
Dr. Walker.
Yes, go ahead.
I apologize. Quentin, this is just my opinion. Quentin got married too fast.
Okay.
You know, because we talk about the time of leaving yourself some space as you get out of one relationship to heal, you know. So I just think a good year in space, I've read that before, and to space yourself, because what happens is you have not finished getting past the previous relationship.
Okay.
But Quentin being 53 probably didn't figure on having enough time. You know, his clock was ticking, and it depends on what he was looking for. Was he looking for someone in his own age range, a little bit older? Was he looking for something younger? You know, you need to be attached.
Go ahead. That's also an interesting point, a point of view. And, you know, there's different things that go through people's mind. If you look at the developmental stages of people in their late 40s and 50s, and it depends on their circumstances and situations, then you start to have a different mindset. As he begins to get older, he could look at his clock ticking and saying, you know what, if I can find someone that comes, you know, comparable to what I'm looking for, then I can settle and have a wonderful life if it's assumed that I will never find the love of my life like I had with Rosie, as he's saying. Is that so unreasonable, Ms. X? Let me ask you that question.
It may be unreasonable, and in a way it may not be. It depends on how much time the individual feels that they need in order to begin anew.
Well, no one has a crystal ball where they can determine life or death and the longevity that they have left on the planet. But then let me pose that question to Ms. Blake. Ms. Blake, is it assumed that he has done something wrong if he can find someone comparable and say, hey, let me go ahead and marry. I won't find the love of my life ever again, chances are. But, you know, I can still love.
It's not wrong. But I guess for me, I think going to some counseling, you know, that broken engagement, sounds like they were engaged for a minute. And what I mean by that is for a little while, because they had another year, I think you said.
Right, they did have
another
year.
They were engaged over a year, so which I consider that to be a long engagement. And so they probably, he still should have probably gotten some counseling. And I'm not talking about just talking to your pastor. That's nice. But I'm talking about a trained professional counselor that could advise him, you know, so he can get to know himself before he enters a new relationship.
Okay, well, let's ask a question about Sabrina. And Ms. X, I'm going to ask you to wait on this one for a second. Let me go to my co-host here. Ms. Blake, what about Sabrina? I mean, is this fair to her? I mean, she ultimately knew, feels, you know, that he's distracted, his love is somewhere else. Is that fair to Sabrina?
It's not fair, but I probably would be a lot like Sabrina, you know. If you don't realize what you've got, then you don't deserve it.
Okay. That's a good point. That's a good point. Ms. X, what do you think? Is that fair to Sabrina? Do you agree with Ms. Blake here? If you don't realize what you got, then you don't deserve it?
Sabrina was the one that he chose to marry after.
Right.
Okay. No, I don't think it was fair to her, but I don't know that he realized that it was unfair because he didn't realize until he got with her that there had not been closure in the previous, from the previous relationship. So I don't think it was a deliberate, he deliberately set out to hurt Sabrina. It just so happened that it happened that way.
You know, I'm going to go out on a long shot, and I would venture for us to maybe, and I'll look at the stats on this later at some point. And this, of course, if you're just now joining us, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. Tonight's topic is, let's go to tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is, does moving on guarantee closure with your ex? Does moving on guarantee closure with your ex? And this is part one. I'm going to take a long shot, and I would venture to say that I believe 90% of the relationships that are over the age of 35, I would venture to say 90% of the relationships over 35, where you are still not with that original love of your life, and even if you are, chances are you did not bring closure. You did not bring closure to your relationship. And mostly, I would venture with that wow number that I put out there, I would say a large percentage of these are men. Ms. Blake, I want to hear your rebuttal on that.
I actually agree with you on that. I really do. And even women sometimes don't bring closure, and you just make the best of it. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, true love never dies, and if that person that they were with before, they truly loved them, and even though that might not have been the right person for them, the true love was there, it's probably still there.
Okay, Ms. X, give me your thought. Give me your thought on that wild number that I sent as a saying. Chances are, I'm going to venture to say 90% or even greater of the relationships over 30, the age of 35, where they've gone through multiple relationships, have not brought closure to relationships, which would also indicate that a lot of people have settled. And in their minds, they're unsettled. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would venture to say that could be a probable number because I think as we get older, we feel like we don't really have enough time. So we tend to rush more into things than to give it the space because, you know, when you're 18, 19, you're in those 20s, you feel like you've got all the time in the world to make these sort of decisions. But after you cross, that threshold, that 35, you know, you feel like time is running out. You know, it's almost the same as with women who have not born children, you know, by a certain age, not gotten married by a certain time. And then all of a sudden, instead of continuing to look into and research good prospects, just for the sake of saying, you know, at least I was married once in my life, they go ahead and settle with someone.
Okay. All right. We're going to take some comments that have come into the studio. Does moving on guarantee closure with your ex? We're going to go to some of the comments here that will come in, and one of those comments indicates that this comes from a male. He says, I moved on, and so did my ex-wife. But then we realized, we both are married now, but then we realized later that we're still very much in love with each other. That's interesting. That's interesting. And then he goes on further to say that both of our spouses are aware that we're still in love with each other. Oh, Miss Blake, I'm going to ask you to speak to that. What do you think about this situation? Both of the spouses are aware that they're in love with each other.
Well, I think awareness is important, but they have made a commitment in a marriage, and so I know that they need to take all efforts to ensure that neither one of them are unfaithful.
Okay. All right, let me throw that question out there to Ms. X. Ms. X, here it is.
Yes.
These two are still in love with each other, the divorced couple now, and they both have moved on to marry some other people. Now, could it be that their hearts are still with each other when they have some form of communication, if they do?
Is that for me?
Yes.
Okay. I was kind of distracted. I apologize.
All right. Let me take another question. Let me go back with another question. We're going to go with another comment. Miss Blake, we'll give you this one. This comes from a female. She says, I thought I could simply move on from one guy to the next until I realized that I was not bringing closure with each move that I had made. And in the long run, the guy I ended up marrying, I was not in love with him. What do you think about that?
I really appreciate that person giving us that comment, because that is a frequent occurrence. And oftentimes we think that, you know, the best way to get over somebody is someone new, but that's not necessarily so, because you haven't dealt with the issues before going into the new relationship.
And I think that that's a brilliant way to put that. Ms. X, let's try to go back and let's see if we can get your thought on that very comment. I mean, this lady was going from guy to guy, thinking that she could have just overcome one by getting another one. And then she realized she ended up getting married to a guy that she's not even in love with. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, again, I think that, you know, if we rush into a relationship, not really trying to at least ensure that we have reached closure in the previous relationship, if we have not done that, I think for us to keep moving about, and sometimes I think that's why people keep moving about, because they keep looking for Mr. Right, and it's just not that easy, and it's not that simple.
Okay. So then, because you don't find Mr. Right, do you settle? Are you saying
anything? I would never say that you should settle. However, I do know that sometimes that's what we do, because we reach a point where we say, you know what, this is hopeless. Or we just get tired of the charades. You know, you got to start all over. You know how it is with dating. And then you got to play the little games and go through all of whatever the charades just to find out, you know what, this is not working. Now you got to, you know, you drop that relationship, you start up another, and some people just get tired, and they do. Some say, you know what, I don't care if I never see another relationship, I'm just going to go ahead and live life for me. But then there are those of us, excuse me, who seek and seem to need companionship.
Okay, so then, Ms. X, what you're saying, if I'm hearing you, it's I'm getting confused here, because it sounds like, on one end, you're saying never settle, but on the other hand, you're saying after a while, a person can become worn down and say, you know what?
I'm changing.
Or don't even be bothered at all. So which is it?
I'm saying I don't advise people to settle. However, I know that they do.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know, Dr. Walker, we're going to do a show on this.
Which one?
Dr. Walker, we're going to do a show on this. And so this is a good segue into one of our shows that we're going to talk about that more extensively.
Should be for the show. I'm sorry. You're right. You're absolutely right. All right, let's go to the phone lines again. We're going to ask all of you on the standby. We're going to go to 321-230. Who do we have on the air? And welcome to the show this evening.
Hi, this is Gloria.
Gloria, thank you for joining us this evening. Did you have a question or a comment, Gloria, that you can help us make some sense of?
Yeah, I wanted to comment on what the young lady just said a few minutes ago about settling. I don't think anyone should think so little of themselves that they should feel like it's okay to just settle for anything or anyone. You know, I believe there's someone out there for everybody, and I believe that if we just give it time and wait for God's time, especially if we ask Him and put it all in His hands, if we wait however long it takes, we wait for God and His timing, and I believe the right person would come along. But I have never, ever believed in settling because eventually it would turn out the wrong way, some kind of way.
All right. Thank you, Gloria, for that comment. Go ahead.
Dr. Walker, I'd like to ask our caller, then what would you suggest to the person that maybe, you know, has been married but wants to be married again and is not really coming across anyone worthwhile? Should they just be happy that they've experienced it once in life and move on?
No, baby. I think, just like I said, if we put it in God's hand, eventually there's somebody out there for us. You know, I've seen it happen. I've seen people wait long, long, long periods of time. And eventually the right person will come along because there are good people out there regardless of what it looks like right then and there up under us. But there are good people in this world. So if we just wait on God's time, that person will come along.
All right, we're going to go.
Thank you for your comment.
Yes. We're going to go to Miss X. And Ms. X, what do you think about that? People who, is this something that everybody should wait for, or is that something just maybe the religious people should subscribe to, waiting? Because, I mean, here, Quentin is 53, and he's obviously, you know, had relationship after relationship, and he sounds like one of those guys in the meantime. You know, I call myself waiting for God, but in the meantime, they start doing otherwise. What do you think about that, Ms. X?
Well, I'm definitely not going to exclude our Lord and Savior out of any relationship matters.
Right.
However, I do know that, you know, in as much faith sometimes as we do place there, and I'm not going to say that it's what He presents to us, but somehow we still end up finding the devil. I still suggest and I still say that we should have the faith and we should, you know, you just might have to play the dating game because you're going to have to do it in order to eventually find the person who has those merits that you are looking for to have a relationship or companion, be compatible with. So sometimes you do have to move from one prospect to the other until you come across Mr. Wright. Sometimes, you know, he may walk right up, be right in plain view.
I got to interject right here. How is that then waiting for God? If you, And see, that's what I find.
Right.
They do the in the meantime thing, and that's not waiting for God. You know, if I were God, I'd say, okay, you asked me, but then in the meantime, you only uttered mumbled some words. But then you're out here for relationship. Go ahead, Ms. Blake.
Well, I think I do see how it's waiting. You can date and wait.
Date wait.
That sounds like a new book for me, date and wait. Because it doesn't mean you're not jumping into something sexually, and you're not, you know, making any decisions as far as becoming engaged before you're sure that that's who God has for you. But you're going out. You're going out.
But you know, I would say there are, I mean, it depends on the mindset of individuals. But, I mean, I'm now taking off the glove from the other hand, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking off the glove from the fan. Because I got to say this here, that you say that you're not jumping into a sexual relationship, but I would venture to say people are. People are jumping in. They're saying they're waiting for God, but they are indulging into intimate and sexual relationships. So they are. And that's where that emotional attachment starts to come and take place. Because they are doing that very thing, and that is, would you say that that's the same as waiting? Go ahead, Ms. Blake, and then I'm going to go to Ms. X.
No, that's not waiting. That's not waiting.
Okay, so Glory, if you like this guy, we'll come to Ms. X in a moment. Glory, you like this guy. He's been around for 2 months, and it's for heterosexual men, and I'm not certainly trying to speak for all men because I can't, but for a number of, I would venture to say out here with these numbers again, heterosexual men, they're not staying in relationships a couple of months and just taking you to dinner and da-da-da, you know, wine and dine you. And they have some that nature starts aroused as they smell you, as they kiss you passionately. You know, there are things that become aroused, and then they want that fulfillment. So if they're not getting it there, they're moving on to somebody else that's getting it. They might like you and leave you over there for a minute, because you might have the class that they want. But then over here, something else is going on. So how is that waiting? And so the woman says, well, you know, he's a good guy, and he's putting the pressure on me. We're coming so close. We're coming so close, and I want this. And then she gives in.
But the first thing is, see, you shouldn't give in, especially if you had that faith in God. You shouldn't give in to somebody that just wants just what they want. The thing is, if you give in, you get what you ask for. I mean, but if you don't give in and you wait it out, of course you can have friends. And I don't mean necessarily friends with benefits and all of that. But, I mean, to go out with a friend, to talk with a friend, I mean, you don't even have to go out. Just talk over the phone with a friend or whatever. First of all, we keep our minds occupied with what Christ wants us to do. And we don't have time otherwise for that, for the other problem.
A lot of men don't operate like that. A lot of men.
Well, see, I'm not talking about necessarily those kind of men.
Okay.
You know, because most men want sex from the beginning. I mean, the majority of them. That's what it's all about, getting in bed with you. But the thing is, see, if that woman is willing to trust God, you have to forgive me because I'm a little short of breath.
Oh, okay.
And if she's willing to trust God, then she can wait. And, yeah, she can wait. Or either if it was a he could wait also.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Gloria, for that. We're going to go to Ms. X. Ms. X, do you think it's realistically, I'm going to throw something out, and you can choose to bypass it if you like. Ms. X, let's assume that people who are over the age of 45, have you ever known men? Have you ever been around a number of men who have waited more than 2 to 3 months to become sexually involved with a woman, and that a woman that didn't want to become active? Realistically, Ms. X?
Realistically, I think in this day and age, no. So, you know what, based on that perspective coming from you, There is a hole in the bucket, dear Liza. Dear Liza, it's a two-edged sword. The thing is, even if you think you want to wait sometimes, and this is where the emotions start to get the best of you, sometimes you might get a little bit too anxious and over-anxious, and that might cause you to rush into a relationship and cause you to settle because, you know, men, I find, are not the same men that I started out dating some, I guess, 30 or more years ago. You know, they aren't supposed to wine and dine you and take the time and put in the effort. It's like, if I got to spend my money on you, you know, you might as well go do this tonight and get it over with. I haven't had that experience of a one-nighter, I will say that.
Right.
But I mean, that's what I'm seeing and I'm hearing amongst today's youth. You know, I don't even know if they say it anymore.
And you know what? She's right. That is what they're saying.
That's what I'm saying. Go ahead, Miss Lane.
She's absolutely right. That is what they're saying. You know, that's their rationalization. They're like, you know, if you've been single for so many years, what I'm hearing men say, because I have these are friends, you know, that, well, we're getting tired of putting out our money, going on these dates, and at the end of the day, you know, we got to jump through all these hoops.
That's exactly what's in the bottom of the language. That's the exact wording that a lot of the guys are saying. That they're saying the exact wording. So, you know, I mean, you know, even though they're
saying
go Dutch, but still,
I was just
going to
say,
okay,
so I tell him, let's go Dutch.
Yeah. And then so, right. And so while he's saying, well, okay, you want to go Dutch, you want to do it like that, then I might as well spend my time with a woman that chances are she's going to give in because. See, if women wanted men to change, all the women would have to be on the same accord. But because they're not, and men know that the women are not going to all be on the same accord, then they know, they say, well, okay, she's going Dutch. I remember when she and I went out, and she went Dutch. I'm not wasting my time with her. I'll see her when there's, I'll go to my little black book, I'll see her when I have nothing else to do and I just want to hang out with like a one of my
You're
boys.
Right. You're right. Living testimony.
And that's what they're doing. You're absolutely right. So with all due respect, as we say, Glory, and Ms. X has even said, as she said, 30, 40 years ago, maybe the guys are not the same, but I don't even think the women are the same.
And, you know, I talk to a lot of people in Atlanta. Y'all hear me say it all the time on the show.
Uh-huh.
And because I'm just a conversationalist. And basically, you know, I've had someone say to me, well, you know, men would be different if women would be different, which is what you said. They said if women would stop making it so easy, we would change.
That's exactly what would happen. We've got about 90 seconds before the show comes to an end. Let me ask you, Gloria, just quickly here. I mean, this is part one. We'll get back into part two on next week. We'll continue with part two next week unless we intercept with another show. Let me just ask you quickly, Gloria, in 10 seconds or less, does moving on guarantee closure with your ex, yes or no? All right, Gloria, we're getting some technical difficulties from that end. Let me go to Ms. X and ask her that question. Just quickly, 10 seconds left, Ms. X.
Dr. Walker.
Yes,
Dr.
Go ahead,
Walker.
Yes.
I wanted to say something earlier, but forever.
We got 15 seconds. You got to be quickly, please.
Well, I tell you what, you better go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, because the show is about to end. But go ahead. We're going to try to bring you in. Go ahead, Gloria, and give it to us quickly, please.
No, I can't say anything because it takes a little longer.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me go quickly, Ms. X, quickly. Does moving on, in your opinion, guarantee closure with your ex?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
No, it doesn't.
All right.
Necessarily.
All right. Ms. Blake, we're going to give you the last thought, Ms. Blake. Does moving on guarantee closure?
There is no guarantee. But you do need to be careful how quickly you jump in the next relationship.
Okay. On that note, we're out of time. Please join us for part two next week or the following week. But we will be on the air next week. Thank you to all of my listeners, my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, for tuning in with us tonight. And join us on this Friday night's program for your half-hour inspiration program. Of course, if you choose to bypass Friday night's program, join us again right here live next Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m., the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until then, everybody, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.